The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's good to be back. I hope you had a good weekend here in North Carolina, despite the snow, which is an interesting event in North Carolina. It doesn't take much for everybody to go into kind of a tizzy yet, but I left town on Thursday. So thanks to my buddy, Stu Epperson Jr., the founder of Truth Radio Network, who guest hosted on Friday. A great conversation with Chris Brady about something that's confusing to the vast majority of us, which is Bitcoin, cryptocurrency in general. So appreciate Stu sitting in, and I'll listen to that one as soon as I can. Had a great weekend with five of my closest buddies, and we're all walking with the Lord. And we've done this every year for about, it might have been our 11th or 12th year. And so we get together and we catch each other up and just enjoy one another. But we also dig into the scriptures. In this case, we sometimes will use a book. And used a book by Richard Blackaby called Unlimiting God for people in your middle age. Like me, I'll be 56 next month. You know, you can do a lot of great things for the Lord and be about ministry and whatever. But sometimes you might lose your intimacy a little bit with the Lord, or you just kind of get in a funk, right? You don't feel like you're halfway up the mountain and the view's pretty good and you've experienced a lot of things and you just kind of stop there, right? So what does that look like as you move into the latter, what, third of your life or whatever the case may be? So that was a blessing and good to be back and spent about, golly, it's got to be about 3 hours today watching a live panel discussion chaired by Senator Ron Johnson in the U.S. Senator, a Republican, of course, otherwise this thing never would have happened. The title of the symposium today up there in D.C., COVID-19, a second opinion roundtable in Washington, D.C. And he said a lot of the names that you would recognize, people I've talked about on the show in this case recently with Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough, who between the two of them, almost 100 million views of the Joe Rogan podcast from December. These are the folks that should have been in the room from the get-go. I do hold Donald Trump responsible in many ways for this train coming off the tracks early when it comes to COVID-19 and our nation's response, as well as around the world. Because, this is obviously not his forte or any other president's forte to deal with something like this. And so you've got the powers that be. Obviously, we know Pope Fauci's in there, and then the guy from the NIH who retired recently, and then you had Dr. Birx. Remember her? She always wore the scarf and all those folks. But that didn't take long for the narrative to just be completely controlled, not just by the federal government, by the mainstream media, as well as by Big Pharma. And the further we go into this, the more it's obvious that Big Pharma has a great control of the CDC and the whole mess there, plus Dr. Fauci and all the money they give out via grants, plus a bunch of those people up there, I think four that we know for sure involved with that mess, who are actually profiting from some of the technology involved with the vaccines. And why are we calling them vaccines anyway? Because they don't actually prevent you from getting COVID. They actually just help you not get a really bad case or die. And that's good. But calling it a vaccine is ridiculous in and of itself. And the lockdowns and the masks and the vaccine mandates, this, that, and the other thing. So I've been listening for like 3 hours today. They were just wrapping up. It was 5 hours. And this is what should have happened from the get-go. You have various experts from various aspects. It's like a diamond, multiple facets of this conversation, from the virus itself to the vaccines to the use or repurposing of drugs that have been around and safe for years. Like, I'm going to say it. The trigger warning, ivermectin, HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, stuff like that, right? And so then they're talking about adverse reactions in Senator Ron Johnson, who's been all over this, and thank God for it, bringing them up to the Hill today to have this. And it was, I've been watching, and I put the link up, thehighwire.com, thehighwire, H-I-G-H. W-I-R-E, thehighwire.com. Because you're not going to see it on mainstream media. You're probably not going to see it on Fox or any of these other places. They might grab a clip here and there. They can't do it on YouTube. They get yanked there. And the Facebook Live that I'm doing now, even mentioning it, might get yanked. And YouTube's just terrible. So one of the things that he shared, And this is where the fix is in so many different ways in this. And again, things are going on in the media where you see people, mainstream media, people on the left, CNN, what have you, and even people in the government, and even to a certain degree the CDC, starting to shift their position, shifting their weight. Because as the truth comes out and this thing loses its steam, thank you, Lord, for Omicron, which is nowhere near what Delta or the original virus was. It's just going back down to where these things end up, which is just cold territory. And again, thank you, Lord, for that as it loses its steam. But what are these folks going to do as that happens? And so now for Joe Biden, what do? Well, Russia, Russia, Russia. Right. So this story just came up, and I'm going to get to a bunch of things today before we talk to David Fisher for a Money Monday update at the end of the show. But now you get this. This is a good diversion. Thank you, Vladimir Putin. Several thousand U.S. forces put on a heightened preparedness amid Russia-Ukraine tension. Approximately 8,500 personnel have been placed on heightened preparedness to deploy if necessary. Let me ask you a question, especially if you're a military family. Do you trust Joe Biden as the commander in chief to get involved with any armed conflict anywhere in the world right now? And would you be willing to sacrifice your son or daughter on the hill of Ukraine-Russian relations? Now, it's important. I'm not saying it's not important, but it's not important enough to throw American blood at it. But yet, that's what's going on. The UN, things are ramping up. And when Joe Biden's numbers are in the tank and that press conference he did last week, which was unbelievably difficult to watch, sad and infuriating. I don't know what planet he's living on, what time frame he's living on. I don't even know how his brain works at this point. And again, another reminder, so I don't just sound like a raving lunatic right winger, we need to pray for the guy. I mean, the whole administration and his wife, him in particular, because this is just not good. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not trustworthy. On top of all the stuff with COVID, this country's in really bad shape, okay? Really bad shape under completely incompetent leadership. And things were way better under Trump, but when it came to COVID, Trump should have run it like a business, and he didn't. And so he just kind of not knowing what's going on, and it's an election year, and holy cow, 12 million people could die or whatever the number was early on, so I got to listen to these people. But he should have done what Senator Johnson did today and brought a bunch of other experts in the room and say, I want the 5 or 10 people in America that completely disagree with Dr. Fauci and Dr. whatever his name is from the NIH and Dr. Merckx. I want the opposite side, and let's lock them in a room and let them get at it. And let's argue about it and talk about it. We should have been doing that the whole time, but we didn't. They didn't. And Big Pharma's in there as well. It sounds like a movie, but it's actually real life, yours and mine. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and great to be with you today. Thanks for being here on the program. If you want to be a part of it in the studio, video-wise, you can just go to my Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show, on Facebook or on YouTube. We have pages both locations, and you can watch live right here in the studio. And during the commercial breaks, I continue to kind of share and go back and forth with folks that are live that way, or you can watch it later. You can podcast it later. We're available on all the major podcast platforms, so it doesn't matter whether you're available from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, when I do the show. All you need to have is a little technology, and bada bing, bada boom, there you go, right? That's how it works. I just put a link on the Facebook Live page to, it's just now finishing up, but about 5 hours, this was U.S. Senator Dr. Ron Johnson, who moderates a panel discussion with world-renowned doctors and medical experts providing different perspectives on the global pandemic response, the current state of knowledge of early and hospital treatment, vaccine efficacy and safety, what went right, what went wrong, what should be done now, and what needs to be addressed long-term. Okay? I've watched about 3 hours of it today, which is why I'm incensed and in a really bad mood, but Jesus is still on the throne. God's still on the throne, rules the universe with his feet up, and it's important to remember that. So one of the things they brought up, and Senator Johnson got hammered about this before, is when you start talking about adverse reactions from various medications or vaccines, right? VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reaction System that the NIH and the CDC put in place themselves about 30 years ago. So he does this thing because early treatment, here's the deal, okay? And you can watch it for yourself. And a lot of these people, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Malone, you'll notice some of these people. Some folks from America's Frontline Doctors, some other guys out in California that are very outspoken, and praise the Lord for that. That the fix is in. Okay, COVID is real. It can be very damaging, especially if you're older, out of shape, have comorbidities. And that's the problem is we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. Why treat just a few people when you can treat everybody and make billions and billions and billions of dollars, which sounds like a James Bond plot, but it isn't. That's what's happening. And when you listen to these rational people that are scientists and medical professionals who care about the truth, they care mostly about their patients. And how can you treat people and love people and care for people well if you don't know the truth? And so they're talking about the whole thing. Okay, the whole enchilada. So I put the links up there. I didn't put a lot of descriptions because YouTube or Facebook's going to pull it down. But that's there. Okay, so go check it out for yourself because there's all kinds of great information in there. And it takes you down all these different roads, all right? And so basically what happened is, why would you use ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and a bunch of other things that were repurposed, regular medications that are highly effective, very safe, and the big problem is very cheap. Why would you use those when you can create new vaccines and then sell them to every government on the planet and pretty much every person on the planet and make billions and billions of dollars, right? What a great opportunity. I mean, that's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And Big Pharma's like that. Big Pharma and their relationship, cozy relationship with the FDA, the CDC, and all that stuff. It's just a big, I mean, I'm sounding more like Glenn Beck every day where people just, it's just crazy conspiracy theory. No, I mean, this stuff. Where there's smoke, there's fire. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. This stuff is a duck. Okay? Golly. So, listen to this. So, they're talking about it, okay? Vaccines versus all these other things, especially early treatment. If you're going to get a bad, you get it. First 72 hours are key, especially if you're older, you're obese, you have comorbidities, you have asthma issues, heart issues. But check this out. Drug adverse event comparison. FDA and CDC data worldwide, starting in 1996 through September of last year, 2021. Ivermectin, okay? Deaths per year because of using ivermectin. 15 deaths per year, okay? But ivermectin's used all over the world. So 15 deaths per year is like nothing compared to how many times it's used. Hydroxychloroquine, 69 deaths per year. Flu vaccines, 77 per year. Dexamethasone, 618 per year. Tylenol, 1,024 per year. You heard it right here. Tylenol has more deaths per year as an adverse reaction than ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine combined times about 10. Ivermectin, 15 deaths per year. Hydroxychloroquine, 69 deaths per year. Tylenol, 1,024 deaths per year. Remdesivir, which became part of the government protocol, 921 deaths per year. And then COVID vaccines, because it's only been out available really for what, 13 months or so now? 20,175 deaths per year. So, and that's the case, and that's from the adverse reaction system. Okay, now the thing about all these is they haven't been all investigated. They haven't been all vetted. They're reported by medical professionals and the people that are involved, but they don't have panels that go out and investigate every one of these cases. But these are all the reports, okay? So 20,175 deaths per year based on how long COVID vaccines have been out versus 15 per year for ivermectin and 69 per year for hydroxychloroquine. Here's the problem with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, other than the fact that they're remarkably safe and pretty darn effective in early treatment for COVID, is there's just no money to be made. There's no money to be made. None. There's no money in it. There's no power. There's no control. You can't advance a narrative like the Great Reset. There's nothing in there. That's just the only motivation for using that stuff is if you care about people. You care about people, you don't care about money. So we're going to repurpose. Let's find, hey, this is real. COVID's real. There's a particular part of the segment or the population that's going to get devastated by this. And we really need to take care of them if you love your neighbor as yourself. But for the rest of us, get over it. You're going to be at home. You might have some symptoms. You take the right protocol. Vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. Couple other things, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, if maybe you're a little bit more in a troubled arena because of your health or your weight or whatever, your age. And then, okay. And then the numbers that they were sharing with this panel today, Senator Ron Johnson in the U.S. Senate, this panel, which I put the links up so you can go watch it for yourself until they crash the highwire.com website. the whole time you're just going to be pulling your hair out, whatever you have left, going, this is just the biggest grift in the history of the world. This is such a sham. Not that it's not real. COVID is real. People have really died. But just the other day, one of the states came out and said, oh, yeah, only about a third of our COVID deaths were actually deaths as a result of COVID. And then another state, I can't remember which state, I have to go find the story, I shared it on Facebook. I was like, oh, yeah, people in the hospital, oh, that's like we've overestimated that by about 50%. Because they came in for another thing. We tested them. They were COVID positive. So we switched their admission from whatever they are actually there for to a COVID admission. And all the numbers go in there. And hospitals and the whole system gets money off of that. And then, of course, that all feeds into the need for the quote-unquote vaccine, which isn't one. And then Moderna and Pfizer make billions and billions of dollars, not just here but around the world. And the powers that be get to cower the populace of the planet into fear, which means control. And bada bing, bada boom, doesn't that work well? I sound like a nut job. Really, I'm sitting here listening to myself talk going 3 years ago, I wouldn't have said any of this stuff. Oh, thanks, Ryan, on Facebook Live. It was Massachusetts. 3 years ago, I wouldn't have said any of this stuff. Now I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, totally believable. Totally believable. And go watch. Like, there's a series based on the story of, it's called Dope Sick. That was on Hulu. Now you're like, oh, Steve, you're pointing us to a Netflix series. No, Dope Sick was on Hulu. And it was based on the nightmare reality of opioids. And one particular company, pharma company, that didn't care what was happening. They suppressed information. They worked with the FDA. They lied. They covered things up so they could make billions and billions of dollars while people were dying right and left all over the country. And that was OxyContin. And this is real. This happens. There's evil. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Back live in the studio. Thanks to my buddy Stu Epperson. The other day on Friday was filling in for me, and that was much appreciated. He's talking about cryptocurrency and what's going on with all of that relative to kind of an end times perspective and cryptocurrency, Bitcoin stuff in general. So appreciate him being here and doing that on Friday for me. That's always great when I have some of my friends that can sit in and help me out. Just continuing to lose my mind and shared some links today from the Senate of all places, which today was a bastion, a cathedral, a beacon of truth. Yes, the U.S. Senate. And that's just because Senator Ron Johnson moderated a panel discussion with world-renowned doctors. Dr. Malone was there. Dr. McCullough was there. A bunch of people, if you've been paying attention, that you'll recognize. Doctors, medical experts providing different perspectives on the global pandemic response, the current state of knowledge of early and hospital treatments, vaccine efficacy and safety, what went right, what went wrong, what should be done now, what needs to be addressed long-term. And if I had to pick one word to describe the vast majority of these people, I would say it's enraged. They are enraged because they've been muzzled. Science is dead. Science, which is supposed to question everything, hypothesis, put it to the test, have a theory, put it to the test. And if your theory doesn't hold up, you trash it. It's the search for objective truth in the material world. That's science. But science is dead, and Pope Fauci, who claims to be science, killed it. Him along with Pfizer and Moderna, Johnson & Johnson to a certain extent. The mismanagement of the whole situation, in my opinion, by Donald Trump, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, yada, yada, on and on and on they go. And then it spreads all around the world to every progressive who will take any advantage they can of the opportunity to control people. And this sounds wacky, doesn't it? But it isn't. This is the world that we live in. This is truth. This is what's going on. So here's a perfect example. Now watch as the liberal media, the White House at some point this year, they're going to have to start turning because the train is turning, and instead of being under it, they want to remain on it. So now they're going to start massaging their positions a little bit. And so you see like Paul Begala coming out and saying the Democrats are going to kill themselves this fall, and little shifts here and there. And then somebody that got woke a while ago, Bill Maher on HBO. Now, if you're sensitive to bad language, don't ever watch him, but he's now like a bastion of sanity and truth when it comes to this madness. And here's an example. CNN's Acosta and the liberal media melt down over Barry Weiss's COVID remarks she was on with Bill Maher. The liberal media is losing their cool because she's like, you can't. Once you decide the position, you jump on that train because of the amount of pride and power that's available, you're going to go down with the ship. It doesn't matter what the reality is. Ideology trumps reality. I started saying that months ago. The liberal media is losing their cool over former New York Times opinion editor Barry Weiss's admission that she's had enough with COVID-19. Weiss joined HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday to express her exhaustion with the pandemic, stressing how it's ridiculous the nation has not returned to normal after 2 years, a sentiment she said is bipartisan. Quote, I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they're scared to be called anti-vaxxers or to be smeared as a Trumper, she spilled. At this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's not real anymore. Excellent. A pandemic of bureaucracy. It's been that for about a year and a half. But I'm better late than never. Remember that. Okay. So she's speaking truth here. And this happened to doctors. So you want to lose. We'll take your license. That's worse than getting fired. You lose your license as a medical practitioner. You're out. It's kind of like a dishonorable discharge from the military. That's on your record, man. Infinitum. You're toast. And so a lot of these doctors and people, you just have to go along with the narrative because you're not willing to pay the price. That's why these doctors, epidemiologists, scientists that stand up like today with Senator Ron Johnson in the Senate, not in the Senate, but one of the rooms there, we need to applaud them and pray for them. Because they're like the prophets of old that are willing to just stand up and tell the truth, whether they get stoned or not. And we need to support these people and pray for them. So she's saying, I know a lot of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this. They're just done with it. But they're afraid to be smeared, right? At this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's not real anymore. Media pundits, including CNN anchor Jim Acosta, dragged Weiss for her remarks. Of course, she's willing to say the emperor's got no clothes. During a segment with CNN medical analyst Dr. Jonathan Reiner on Sunday, Acosta considered Weiss a troll for even daring to disagree. Quote, I'm done with that attitude, Acosta said. She needs to understand that trolling people to own the libs is not a sacrifice. Dr. Reiner chimed in and encouraged Weiss to grow up and stop acting like a child, likening the situation to a kid who doesn't want to play this game anymore. Quote, all that we've done is ask the public to wear a mask when you go out and about and get vaccinated, he said, so I'm glad she's done with it. MSNBC host Mehdi Hasan ripped Weiss for moaning about that pandemic as part of his high-speed 60-second rant. Here's another one. My young children have handled this pandemic more maturely and less childishly than the likes of Barry Weiss, who, I'm sorry, can't go to as many indoor parties as she'd like to, he added. In her own remarks, Weiss was adamant that the nation's COVID response would be remembered, listen to this, by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime. Amen. Quote, people are killing themselves, she said. They are anxious, they are depressed, they are lonely. That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. But Weiss isn't the only media figure expressing her honesty about COVID exhaustion. CBS host Gayle King told the Late Night Show with Stephen Colbert earlier this month that she's so tired of being afraid of the virus and facing the threat of being locked down. Quote, I think we all have got to figure out how we can live our lives and navigate it, she said. I would much rather run down Times Square buck naked than go back home. Okay, whatever. Okay. But you just... And you want another example? The truth is just out the window. Did you see Matt Walsh the other day? Matt Walsh with the Daily Wire, uber conservative, pretty caustic most of the time, hardcore Catholic guy. Okay. And so how this happened, Dr. Phil, it's just good programming. Dr. Phil has Matt Walsh come on and engage two transgender people, both trans women. That's a guy who thinks he's a woman, so he dresses up like a woman, whatever. And so Matt Walsh, and I watched several clips from this, it's uncomfortable because it's just so sad and upsetting to see these two men trying to present themselves as women because they have gender dysphoria, which is a mental disorder, and all the makeup and everything. Yeah. But with facial hair too. So you've got this whole bizarro inside out, upside down situation with these people that are convinced because of their gender dysphoria that they're right. And Matt Walsh does the same. He's been talking about it for a while on his show and his writings on the Daily Wire, said, hey, just can anybody define what a woman is? Define for me what a woman is. So he asked one of these guys, who's a trans woman, thinks he's a woman. He asked him to define what a woman actually is. So just give me a definition. What is a woman? And this is where the if you throw the truth out and you go down this road, then it ends up collapsing in on itself, okay? Because that's what insanity does. It collapses in on itself. So the guy, because he can't win, if he gives a tight definition of what a woman is, then he could alienate women, which isn't going to help him, especially progressive women and pro-trans women. If he goes too far with it, there's going to be some side of the progressive agenda. Maybe it's homosexuals, maybe it's bisexuals, maybe it's lesbians. That he's got to be careful there. So when Matt Walsh says, "Hey, just define what a woman is for me," the guy's like, "Well, yeah, this doesn't really have a definition. I can't define it for you because there is no definition, but I am one, even though there is no definition. So I can identify with something that we don't actually know what it is because there's no way to prove me wrong." So he's not an idiot in doing his circular reasoning, but he is mentally disabled, unstable, handicapped, right? So that's what the guy's, well, there's actually not a definition. Because if he puts his foot on the ground and says, "I'm going to go with this definition as a woman," then he's crossed over from irrational to rational. He's actually going to have to declare some kind of objective truth, at least from his perspective. And as soon as he does that, it's got this tiny little smell of that T word again, truth. It's like natural immunity. You can't go there. You can't give any credence to natural immunity because that might pull some of the customers out of Pfizer's line, right? So you can't go there. Even though now CDC is now starting to put some reports out there that, yeah, it sure looks like natural immunity might be a little bit better, actually, than the vaccine immunity. And, you know, we should have talked about it in the first place. But, you know, because truth is a problem, especially in this world right now. So the guy literally couldn't give a definition because if he did, that would give a hint that he's going to take a position. And if you take a position, that means there's some kind of a truth line, which means there's a moral, immoral line, a right, wrong line. And then you've introduced the whole notion of moral truth. And you can't do that. If you're going to kill God, which you can't, but you can try. If you're going to do that, Romans chapter 1, you got to suppress the truth and replace it with a lie. And so it's painful, though. Just go watch it. Just Google Matt Walsh, Dr. Phil. That's all you need to do. And then go watch the backlash. The outrage was aimed at Walsh, who was smeared as a bigot for stating biological realities and defending women-only spaces, but also Dr. Phil for platforming Walsh, right, for even giving him a chance. Truly blank Dr. Phil for this one tweet said, "Why would you invite a non-binary person on a national television just to be humiliated by an outspoken transphobe? Who is this for? Who does this help?" Well, it helps those that are on the side of truth or willing to even consider that there is a truth. All right, so get that link on Facebook Live today. COVID-19, a second opinion. We'll be right back with David Fisher with a little Money Monday update. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook Live. I just shared the link again to something that's about to finish up in Washington, D.C. COVID-19, a second opinion, a roundtable there on the U.S. Senate side. Senator Ron Johnson, who's been outspoken and truthful and level-headed, brought together a lot of these world-renowned doctors and medical experts that have been speaking out against all the garbage, all the misinformation, the actual misinformation, the abuse of power, and the abuse of what I would say is, you know, a few billion people under the cover of helping people with COVID. And so that's about 5 hours, okay? And I know this stuff is very time-consuming, but this stuff has controlled our lives for the last 2 years. So I think spending a couple hours watching Joe Rogan or listening to Joe Rogan with Dr. McCullough or Dr. Malone is worth your time, given what's happened to us in our world. And then today, where this thing's about 5 hours, COVID-19, a second opinion, it's worth your time. It is, for the sake of yourself, your sanity, your health, and the health of all your neighbors. So if we're going to call ourselves Christians and we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, well, there you go. Sometimes that requires getting educated. And one of the people that helps us be educated in various ways is our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, how are you?
I'm doing great. A lot of market movement today. Yeah. Swings, but I'm stable because I'm on the rock.
Hey. Amen and amen. Yes, it helps to have your house built on a firm foundation instead of the sand, as determined by the news cycle or whatever's going on in the markets. Anyway, it's great to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us. And make sure I mentioned that link, David. You'll definitely want to check that out as well. The COVID-19, a second opinion. That's what should have been happening from the start, is to have opposite sides on all these different subjects from experts and let them go at it. That's called science, where we actually test hypotheses. That's not what we've been getting. We've been getting political science. Anyway, that's a whole nother topic, but check that out. I'll send you the link, David, when we get off the air today. But let's start in the good word of God, where we can find some stability and truth and encouragement from the Lord. John 21, let's start there.
So let me bring the background of this. The disciples, Simon Peter, they've been fishing all night, and they're very experienced at fishing, and they caught nothing. So then they come ashore here, or getting ready to come ashore, and they see this person, and he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some, quote unquote. When they did this, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then going down to verse 8, the disciples saw it was Jesus who was telling them to do this. Well, this scripture can be used in so many different ways for personal application. God has plans for you when you don't think there is a plan, and you say there's no way that can happen. How about that? Mm-hmm. Life doesn't always go the way we thought. We can work really hard, but when the Lord's hand puts his hand to something, our whole environment changed. I can keep going on. The bottom line is put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Amen. Go for this incredible ride, because mm-hmm. he says, I want to give you life and life abundantly. And when you think the darkest hour is there, light is right behind, Amen. Right in front of you. Just reach out to the Lord.
Amen. And that reminds me of David in Psalm 23. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Once you're a believer, death is only a shadow. And I ask people all the time, David, hey, are you afraid of your shadow? No, that's ridiculous. Okay. You might want to remember that when you're walking with the Lord. It doesn't matter whether it's death or any of the other garbage that can happen in this world, COVID, what have you. It's all shadow. When Jesus is your Lord and your Master and your King, and you have heaven as your destination, it's all a shadow. So that's just a great reminder. Thank you for that. I definitely needed to hear that myself. Okay, so it's a bloodbath. Stock market's just crazy. I'm like wondering, why did I feel kind of lousy today around lunchtime? Well, that's because the market around noon was down almost, 1,100 points. I mean, it's crazy. Now it's up a little bit now, but this wild ride lately is just nutso.
1,162 points, 3.8%. The NASDAQ was down almost just shy of 6%, 5.99%. The S&P was down 2.3%. All three indexes are up. And if you look at an interday chart, first of all, in the history of 27 years that I've been doing this, I've never seen, except for one other time, the market swing like this. Mm. And that was October 16th, saw two other times. October 16th, 2008, the market was down 4.63%. And what happened, the United States, the European Union, and Japan coordinated an action to guarantee banking financing, and John Paulson shifted TARP money to buying equities in banks.
Jeez.
The market closed up 4.825%, so it almost had a little over 9% swing. And a week later, 8 days later, the market was down another 4.25%, and the Fed bailed out mutual money market funds, and the market closed up 1.26%. I'm going to speculate. It'll probably come out in the news. I'll do some research. This is probably the Fed plunge protection team intervening in this market, because you don't see these kind of swings like this.
Yeah.
The market did, the S&P 500 is still down below its 200-day moving average, which is a major support. But before all this, it was just a headache and a half in the market.
Yeah. So what's causing this? Obviously, we've been on a wild ride for the last few weeks, but do we know what's causing this right now? Why the movement's so radical?
So some of it is COVID, you know, Omicron, but most of it is the market is now embracing, and the market's been down, you know, for the whole month of January.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's just today. You know, last Thursday, Netflix dropped 20% in one day,
crazy.
And that triggered a big sell-off, too. So what's causing this is the market now is coming to terms where the Fed is really going to raise rates. The Fed is coming out on a two-day meeting, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, and Wednesday, more than likely, they're going to raise rates. There's four rate hikes that the market has, that the market is saying that there's going to be, there's a 92% chance we're going to have a rate hike of a quarter point in March, 80% another rate hike in June, 66% in September, and a 56% the fourth rate hike in December. So the market doesn't like rate hikes, and it's embracing that, and they've been talking about this for the beginning of this year, and that's why the market's been down. So the market broke through support levels of 200-day moving averages, and that's when we all, I think, this is David speculating now. I don't have any data to say this. I'll probably have it next week when a full Monday show. This is David saying, I think the Fed came in and intervened in the market because they've done this before when it does this type of big downward movement.
Because they want to have their cake and eat it, too. They know they have to inch rates up because of what we've done to ourselves. But they also know from a political standpoint, when the market crashes, that's not good. And so they try to play both sides all the time. I mean, this is just the way it goes. What do you think the market could do if they actually come out and say we're raising rates? And they say that on Wednesday, are we looking at another huge drop like today? I mean, obviously it recovered today, but holy cow, how bad could it be?
Well, I think the market will go down, but I don't think you'll see it like it is today. But I think we're shifting. All the people that I'm, that I follow that have, who are not anti-stock, I want to make that really clear, but they are market sensitive. Like we're talking Morgan Stanley, the chief head of Morgan Stanley, he's calling for a 20% correction in the market. He's been saying that for the last 2 weeks. So it's, I think we have more downside because here's the problem. The Fed has shot all the bullets. They don't have any more ammunition. They can't drop rates anymore. They're at zero. What are you going to go, negative rates? They promised they were never going to do that. They might do that, but I don't think they're going to do that. So they can't lower rates to support the market. And every time when the market did do this, all they did was lower rates. Well, they don't know where to go. They're backed in the corner. The problem is if they raise rates, our debt structure is just massively unmanageable. In 1980, our national debt was $900 billion. Today, it's $30 trillion. That's a 3,200% increase, but our money coming into the country has only grown 632% in the same period of time. So we're not managing our debt, and this is where them raising rate is going to make that even significantly more challengeable. That's why, or challenging, that's why they're, whatever they do, they can't lower rates. Yeah. And more than likely, they're going to raise it, and more than likely, it will not be good for stocks. And I've been saying this for a long time, and we saw the market snap today.
Oh, yeah. So what will happen on the other end of the teeter-totter, as I like to say, with precious metals like gold and silver, what will happen?
Well, it's more or less the safe zone from the marketplace of the market cycles, or the market yo-yos. You didn't see gold go up and crash down or any of that. Gold closed up a little bit. Silver closed down a little bit. But they've been stable. In fact, they've been on a two-month movement upward because the dollar has broken down through key support levels. So that when the dollar breaks down, it doesn't do well for the stock market, and it certainly does well for gold. And like I've been saying, all the experts are saying now's the time.
Yeah.
People who don't sell gold, the billionaires, hedge fund managers, analysts, they're all, not all, a significant amount of them are saying now is the time you want to move some money into gold and silver because we will have inflation.
Yeah, it's just like salting your driveway. So here in North Carolina last week, we had some snow, and they start brining the roads on Wednesday, and the snow comes in on Thursday, and it's a couple inches, but you got to be prepared for it. You know it's coming. And so you take some defensive steps, and that, as you've said time and time again over the years, David, that's the whole reason for including precious metals in your portfolio is to have a defensive measure when the markets do what they're doing right now and where they're going, right?
Absolutely. And next week we'll talk when we have more time about the Fed coming out with cryptocurrency, the Fed electronic digital currency.
Yep.
So, but anyway.
Yeah, I always get excited when the Fed has another idea. So we'll do a full Money Monday. We're actually going to do it a little early because it'll be February 1st next Tuesday. But I'm going to be on location doing the show next Monday. So we'll do a full Money Monday together, David, next Tuesday. And we'll be able to go through all these things. People want to start getting educated, get some more information. How do they do that?
Call us 844-604-2. 205-744-604-2575 or Landmark Gold.
All right. Thank you, Brady. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much. LandmarkGold.com is that website. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.